Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. How difficult is it to control our tongue? What do you think? Well, yes, we have our bodies, our feelings, our experiences in life. All kinds. And for us to have a secret in our life, something that's not in the world, but something that is actually hidden. Hidden is called in Revelation 2:17, hidden manna. When you pray in secret, your Heavenly Father sees that and He rewards you. Here in Luke 11, verse 9, I say unto you, ask, it shall be given to you. Prayer, ask, it shall be given you. Remember, Peter was in jail under Herod, and the church prayed for him, and the angels came and released him, and he thought he was dreaming when he went through the door, the outer gate, and he realized that he had been delivered. Sometimes we don't even believe what can happen with God. God answers. God does do great things. In our staff meeting Tuesday morning, Julia said that Pastor Schaller is going to have to song lead Wednesday night. So last night I was troubled by that statement. So I called him up. He said, no, Seth Horton's going to do it. And I go, oh, good. Verse 9, ask for what? All kinds of things, big things, little things, things from the heart. Things about people, relationships, money, housing, our spiritual life. Ask Brandon's song tonight. Wow, and Gary, that was a fantastic song. Thank you. It's beautiful. When I am weary, when I am weak, I have God. I can ask. Verse 9, ask, it shall be given you. Seek. Many times we don't know what to seek for, but God can help us and lead us and put it in our heart to be hungry, to desire, to seek, like the deer in the forest are looking for water in Psalm 42, in Psalm 63. We are seekers. We are looking for more in life than just what the world has and what the world advertises and what they learn to process the advertising that is in the world in the opposite way. Not being pessimistic or negative, but enjoy good things, but to finish the sentence with the scripture. With a deep life, a worshipful life, a life where you know that no one will satisfy me except God. Even in marriage, even in a very good marriage, you're not married so that your partner will satisfy you. You are married so that you will find God and hopefully find Him together. And He satisfies both of you. And then you find yourselves enjoying God between each of you. Verse 9, seek, you shall find. Does it say maybe? And it says no. You shall find. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. These are great words for us because we are hungry and thirsty and we've lost something. I've lost something, and I am seeking. Some people lose their virginity. Some people lose their integrity. They lose their reputation. We lose our character. Some people lose the very purpose and meaning of life. They have lost it, and then they do not seek it. They are not looking for it. They don't know what to look for. And then we come, and we have a message, and it's above. Proverbs says, the way of life is above, to escape from hell below. This life can be hell, but we have found the life above. We are seated there. We have been raised with Christ, seated in heavenly places. We are empowered with His Spirit. We are anointed by God to fulfill His purpose and to bring praise and thanksgiving out of human beings that have sinful natures. That nature contradicts the very nature of God. But when we are filled with the Spirit, we are satisfied. We are encouraged. We are comforted. Verse 10. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Jesus is comparing God to an earthly father. An earthly father will give bread whenever his son needs bread. Would he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Will he hurt his son, or make a joke of it, or come in short? Will he lack what his son needs? No. But if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Wow. That's the part that we love about this teaching. Will He give us the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, it seems to me, is the key to life. Everything about God He has given to us. God Himself, the Holy Spirit, He has given to us. It sounds like everything is okay in my Father's house. It sounds like the Holy Spirit is going to teach me these words and put them in our spirit. And we will have them, and it will be a secret place. A hiding place, a place, Revelation 2:17, where there is hidden manna, the hidden food. I know that there are people concerned about their future, so they are buying up dehydrated food and storing it in their cellar, and maybe getting a hiding place for canned goods or whatever. We know that people are concerned and worried and troubled about the future, and that be as it is. But there's another kind of hidden food, and it is this one, that the Father gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. The filling of the Spirit, the guidance, the teaching, the satisfaction, the hidden manna. You have to have it. You have to have it. If you don't have hidden manna, you'll be in a bar room. You'll be in a bar room before the sun goes down. You'll be with another woman. You'll be lying or cheating. You'll be depressed. You'll be looking for drugs and medications. If you don't have a secret place, but you have. You have a secret place. It's in Christ, it's in the church, it's in faith. It's a hiding place. No wonder people are in so much trouble. They have no hiding place. God is our refuge and our hiding place. We need a hiding place. I want you to see a couple. Turn to Exodus 15, and we have the story with Moses here. Yeah, I say that to think about it. Yes. Sometimes I used to think, I wish I had lived in another century or lived in another place when life was better. It wasn't ever better. Cain killed his brother, first chance he got, first generation of the human race. It was never better. There was always murder and rape and hatred and racism and unbelief and fear and guilt. It was never better. There was never a better time. It's always been wicked and evil, and it continues to be so. So how do we live then? Well, the good news is that in our history as a country, there are enough Christians to bring in when our country was born. There are enough Christians that had the sense of knowing that we must fear God. To have a successful democratic republic, we must have the fear of God. We must have a moral law written in our hearts, and we must have the fear of God and pure religion, God's spiritual visitation to his people. And we have that in our history. Now we see it being overturned or ignored or made fun of or lied about. But that is the way it is. Look at Exodus 15 and just two verses, verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" They were thirsty. And people murmured, "What shall we drink?" This was a wicked, evil generation that came out of Egypt. Unbelief. Two people out of 600,000 men made it into the promised land. They were Joshua and Caleb. Everyone died in unbelief. Everyone that came out of Egypt, that generation that came out, none of them entered. Two people. Everybody died in unbelief. That's like today. That's the world we live in. But do you have a secret place? But do you have a secret in your life? Do you have something in your heart and in your life that's making a difference for you? Are you a person that has asked God for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and he gave you, he filled you, he satisfied you? Read it with me, verse 25. And Moses, they said, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. There it is, that's all. He cried to the Lord, and God had something to show him. He cried to the Lord, and God had a way. He had a solution. God had something there. He cried to the Lord, and God had somebody. God had something. God had a message. He cried to the Lord. God had a Bible verse, or God had a brother or a sister. God had a tree. God showed him a tree. And of course, we think of the cross in that regard. And he had Moses, when he cast the tree into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statue, an ordinance, and there he proved them. So there it is. Be careful with your words. Turn to Leviticus 10. Just a few more minutes. Leviticus chapter 10. Aaron had two sons, verse 1. They were Nadab and Abihu. And they took strange fire. chapter 10, verse 1. Strange fire. Looks like they were drinking alcohol. We see that later on in verse 8 and 9. That it may be, this is what the commentators say, that they were worship, they were serving as priests drunk or drinking. This was strange fire. So God, there went out fire from the Lord, verse 2, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So it's a terrible thing to lose two sons. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. Moses is saying to his brother, this is, in my words, God's not fooling around. This is for real. Don't fool around. Don't play around with it. God said this, I will be glorified. And then it says, Aaron held his peace. That's the part that I want you to just think about for a minute. Aaron held his peace. Aaron was, we could say, I'm just making a point. Aaron, brokenhearted, I lost my two sons. But I don't have anything to say about it. It's God. I don't say anything about it. He held his peace. How do you hold your peace when you're disappointed or hurt? How do you hold your peace when somebody you love is a disappointment or is in trouble somehow or whatever? We react. How do we hold our peace in life? How do we hold our peace when you want to be swearing and swearing like a sailor, cursing, when you're angry with God? How do you hold your peace? That's a good question, isn't it? How do we hold our peace? We must know the secret place. You have to have a secret place in your life, because that's how you can be different. You're not swearing and cursing like the people on the streets with hatred and violence and emptiness and loneliness and depression. You're not those people. You are people that are that have a you have a yeah, you know what I'm saying. You are people that have the Holy Spirit of God in you. And you are actually able to live a life of praise and thanksgiving. There's one more story, just because you folks are awesome Bible folks. So that's Ezekiel, very unusual. Ezekiel, is it? Wow. 24, is it? I think I wrote it here. Yeah, 24:18. Ezekiel 24. Ezekiel was told that his wife would die, and he said, "Don't cry." Chapter 24, verse 17. No, 16. Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of your eyes with a stroke. Verse 16. Let's slow down here for a second. What did God say to Ezekiel? I'm going to take away the desire of your eyes. He means his wife. I'm going to take her away in a stroke. Yet don't mourn or weep, neither shall tears run down. You're not to cry, Ezekiel, when this happens. Verse 17. Forbear to cry. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire on your head upon thee, and put on your shoes, and cover not your lips, and eat not. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. My wife died, and I didn't cry, and I didn't mourn or weep. What's the meaning? The meaning is it's a picture of how God has Israel, and Israel has died, and God is not weeping. God, this is a expression of God. This is a a expression by his prophet. What's the application for us? I think we should mourn. We mourn and weep. It's only normal. That's obvious. That's Joshua 1 with Moses. We are human beings. We have a lot of feeling. And weeping and crying and being angry and upset and disenchanted and disappointed, all of this is part of life. And we are not to pretend that it's not real. But I am saying something in our message tonight. And that is that I believe we are not like the world. When there's no water, we turn to God. In Nehemiah chapter 2, when Nehemiah was before the king, and the king said, "Why are you sad?" And it says Nehemiah prayed to the Lord how to answer. He prayed to God. You see, work in your heart and in your life to bring God into every area of your life. Like, live a life that's different, a life of praise, a life of thanksgiving, a life of prayer, a life of quietness. If you have some jealousy in your heart or some problem with some person, learn also to be quiet before God and ask God. God can take it away. God can help you. Do I need to talk to everybody about my problems? Or is there something else I can do? Maybe I need help. Maybe I need advice. But there's also a lot of studies now that people that talk and talk about their opinion and their point of view and everything does not reconcile divided parties. It is not necessarily God, the answer for our problems. This is different because we are living a life before our Heavenly Father. And we have a prayer life. And when Jesus was on the earth, we saw and we listened to what he said about it. And he said, "Ask, it will be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened. My Heavenly Father will answer you." So, that's a good word. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we are living in a world that is having a big mouth. Bigger and bigger than ever before. The Antichrist, we read in Revelation 13, the Antichrist has a big mouth. Goliath had a big mouth. Satan has a big mouth. But we are learning. We are not like that. A soft answer breaks the bone. Wisdom applied delivers the city. Learning how to keep our marriages together and learning how to be spirit-filled at home, how to talk, how to be quiet, how to think, how to love, how to forgive. We sometimes are very frustrated with our partner and with ourselves, maybe in our family. This is a great lesson. This is a great teaching from Luke 11. In our church life, there are body members that maybe don't talk to each other or because they just somehow offended each other. You got irritated or something. This is real in life. This is a real thing that happens, but we are learning love, forgiveness, encouragement, wisdom, praise. Praise. Thank you, God. Fill our homes with praise, our mornings with praise, thanksgiving. At night, before we go to bed, the thinking of all the good things and to praise you, to thank you, and have a secret place to hide from the strife of tongues. Hide me in a pavilion from the strife of tongues, the psalmist said. Jesus, thank you. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have one more prayer. If you're not a believer, come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus. He's the one that loves you. He's the one that serves you. He's the one that washes your feet and cares for you. He's the one that prays for you. He's the one that upholds you. He's the one that cares for you. In Jesus' name, come by faith tonight in Christ's name. Make a decision in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.